going to continue this morning in our study as we were discussing last week pertaining to the flesh. And so I want you to read in John chapter 3, verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. Now, we're not getting into some weird doctrinal thing here, some argument about water baptism or any of these things. Our concern in our Bible study this morning is not in baptismal doctrine or that type of thing. But we are concerned with the fact that the reason for our need to be born again, the reason for that has to do with flesh. And I recognize that the religious system of this world today has never gotten hold of this to this point. They believe that you can make something out of flesh besides flesh. But flesh is flesh, and flesh will remain flesh. Therefore, you must be born again if you're to ever enter into the presence of Almighty God. Now, our discussion last week, I want to put on the board again some things. And so I'm going to say that this over here represents the kingdom of God. This is the Garden of Eden. Represents the Garden of Eden. God Almighty was in the kingdom, and he made man of the dust of the earth, breathed into him the breath of life, put him in the garden to dress it and keep it. And he walked with God. So I know that he's in the kingdom of God. But I know that in the kingdom of God, he's not in the flesh. Now I know that he had a body, and that body was made of clay, it was made of dust. God said, From dust thou wast taken, dust thou art, and to dust thou shalt return. But he told him that later on. Adam sinned against God. And the Bible said, by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Well, Adam could not stay in the presence of Almighty God after he had sinned. He couldn't stay in the presence of Almighty God, even though God forgave him. You have to understand this. Even though he got forgiveness from God for what he did, God still could not permit Adam in his presence because sin is in the blood. Sin is in the flesh. And sin entered into Adam's flesh, and Adam became sinful flesh, and as a result of that sinful flesh, he must leave. And so God put him out of the garden, and the Bible said, lest he eat of the tree of life and live forever. We're not very bright. Not really. We discussed this last week. We want to live forever. We have within us that thing that wants to survive. We want to live, and yet there are times when we say, I just don't want to live any longer. I just don't want to continue, but then we struggle to continue. But you know something? If the tree of life sat here this morning, and you could eat of the tree of life, you would partake of the tree of life, even though in doing so, you would live in the same state that you're in right now. With misery and toil and strife and heartache and pain and on, you would continue in that state. And that's bad news. And so the putting forth of Adam out of the garden is the grace of Almighty God. You must understand that. God was gracious unto Adam. Do you know something? Death is the graciousness of Almighty God. Praise God for death. Say, but wait a minute. Death is the result of sin. Well, I know that is true, but think about it. If it weren't for death, then you would continue to live in sin eternally and in the same condition. Therefore, death is a gateway out of this life. And so God puts Adam out of the garden. I'm coming to the other side over here. I'm going to say that this is the kingdom of God. Man in his stupidity and his ignorance today, man in his self-wisdom, the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, has some silly, stupid idea that by acting good and performing good deeds, he's going to get into where God over here is, in spite of the fact that he was put out from God's presence because of what he is. You must understand, what you do won't change what you are. And so you can be baptized in water till hell freezes over, and it will not change what you are. You can walk the aisle for Jesus every day. It won't change what you are. You can pray through at the altar, and it won't change what you are. You can stop smoking, dancing, playing cards, drinking, cussing, and all the other things that people talk about today, and it won't change what you are. You are what you are because you were born that way. You were born in sin, and in sin you remain today. And until your flesh is changed and you're made like unto the glorious Son of Almighty God, you cannot enter into the presence of Almighty God. So the problem we've got then is, how can I be like the Lord? How can I be this spiritual being that is referred to in John chapter 3? In John chapter 3, notice in verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again. Well, you'll observe the fact that Jesus is a man. Look back in verse 2. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man. Jesus is a man. Verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again. Verse 4, Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man, one who has already been born? Verse 5, Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water, out of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Well, a man is born into this world by water, beloved. It isn't making a difference if it came forth with skin, scales, or feathers. It was brought forth by water. All birth is by water. Birds, beasts, fishes, human beings, matters not. It came forth by water. Well, a man who has been brought forth by water into this present world, born in sin, must be born again of the Spirit if he's to enter into the kingdom of God. Turn, please, to 1 Corinthians, and look in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and notice in verse 50. 1 Corinthians 15, 50 says, Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Well, then flesh and blood cannot enter into the kingdom of God. In other words, the route we're going today, there is no possibility of getting into the kingdom of God, right? Right. Oh, but we got the answer to it, don't we? So what do? We get rid of our blood. Yeah, that's it. If I just didn't have this blood. You see, it is through the blood that I got the sin. You see, the bloodstream of mankind goes back through the Father. Father to child, father to child, father to child. Never the mother. Hence, Jesus Christ, who is born of a virgin, had no earthly father. Therefore, the sin of Adam was not in Christ. Christ was without sin as a nature. So you got to get rid of your blood. How are you going to handle that? Well, Jesus Christ provided the way. Jesus Christ went to Calvary. And Jesus Christ shed His blood at Calvary. Died for your sin, was buried, and rose again without the blood. In order that you, by faith in what Christ did for you, could also live in life without your blood. In order that you, even though you die, may live again. And if are alive at the rapture of the church, second coming of Christ, that your vile body may be changed and may be made like unto His glorious body, in order that you can get rid of that old blood, fleshly nature that you're born with into this world, and therefore there isn't anything you can do about it. Now, let's consider some things here for a second. Turn, please, to Acts 13. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he can't enter the kingdom of God. Well, bless your soul, if that be the case, Jesus Christ, who is a man, Jesus Christ is born right here. I'm going to let that represent the beginning of the life of Christ on this earth. Mary conceived and bare a son, called his name Jesus. Jesus is a man. Jesus grew in wisdom and stature, became a full-grown man, and He began His ministry, and as a man, Jesus Christ could not get into the presence of His Father. Now, somebody may not like that, but it makes no difference whether they like it or not. Jesus couldn't get into the presence of Almighty God. He had to be born again to get into the presence. But hold the phone. When Nicodemus asked Him that, He'd already been baptized, so that won't get the job done. Something else has to transpire. So it did. Look at Acts 13, verse 28. Now we're just going to believe our Bibles. Acts 13, verse 28 says, and though they found no cause of death in Him, yet desired they Pilate that He should be slain. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of Him, they took Him down from the tree and laid Him in a sepulchre. But God raised Him from the dead. And He was seen many days of them which came up with Him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are His witnesses unto the people. And we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise that was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto us their children, in that He hath raised up Jesus again, as it is also written in the second Psalm, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. Well, bless your soul, the begetting of verse 33 is in one accord with His resurrection. You see, God begot Him from the womb, but God begot Him from the dead. He was born of the Virgin, but He was born again from the dead. Turn, please, to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. In Colossians 1, notice in verse 15 a reference to Christ. Colossians 1:15, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Not here, not back here before the cross, after the cross. Not before the cross, after the cross. Look in verse 16, for by Him are all things created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him, and He is before all things, and by Him all things consist, and He is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. Jesus Christ is born again. Turn, please, to Revelation, and look at Revelation chapter 1. In Revelation chapter 1, notice in verse 4, Revelation 1, verse 4, John to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from Him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before His throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead. And on and on and on. Why, folks, you couldn't miss that if you tried, if you believe your Bible. All right? Then we must be born again. Now, why all this? Because of the flesh. Because you are flesh. You're born in the flesh. Now, the first mention of the flesh in the so-called New Testament is Matthew 16. Let's try it. Turn to Matthew 16. This is very significant. In Matthew 16, let this be a lesson to you. Matthew 16, look at verse 15. He had asked them, "Who do you say that I am?" Verse 15, he saith unto them, "But whom say you that I am?" Verse 16, Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." That's the first mention. Now that's very significant. I learned a long time ago that it was very fruitful and very worthwhile to go back in your Bible and check first mention of words to illustrate. Like I read over there in Matthew chapter 24 about the fig tree. I read about when the fig tree puts forth her leaves, that summer is nigh. So when you see this, you know that the coming of the Lord is near. I read that Jesus Christ went by on his way into Jerusalem and cursed that fig tree. All that began to bother me. Why a fig tree? So I got out of my concordance, and I found out the first reference of a fig tree is in the book of Genesis. And it has to do with the Garden of Eden. You know what Adam did when he sinned? They made themselves aprons of fig leaves. You know what they're trying to cover? Flesh. Flesh. Isn't it fascinating what has happened to man over the years? Adam was ashamed of his flesh and tried to cover it with fig leaves. Today, people are proud of it and try to expose it as much as they possibly can. Isn't that true? Not only do they try to expose the real flesh, they try to expose the will of the flesh, the attitude of the flesh, the wisdom of the flesh, and so forth. Just riding along back there a while ago, coming on the way down here, and I saw this pickup truck had a rebel flag in the window, and I imagine inside of that a gun rack, and I don't know what all else, and it had a sign on the back bumper, a dirty sign about something happening. And I just took it for granted that he got his brain out of a sewer somewhere. No, I knew exactly what happened to that fellow. That man is flesh. He's just a sorry, low-down human being that was born into this world, born in sin with an attitude of the flesh that has no control over his flesh, but instead loves to exalt his flesh, and he thinks that's cute. What a revelation of a human being when you see those things. Well, the flesh is no good, folks. Flesh and blood have not revealed this unto thee, Peter. In other words, Peter couldn't know the Lord by the flesh, neither can you. So I'll read the Bible. We'll turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and notice in verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 says, "But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." You can't understand what God has prepared for those that trust Jesus Christ, their Lord and Savior. Verse 10, "But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God." We find the deep things of God, of course, in the Word of God. "But a man by his own spirit can't understand that." Verse 11, "For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God." That's the reason there are so many lost religious people in the world today that are teaching the Bible. And when you hear their teaching, you know, hey, I'm listening to a man don't know what he's talking about. You know why? Because he can't understand what he's talking about. He can't understand things in the Bible. So he just goes to certain things like repent and be baptized for remission of sins, keep the law, keep the commandments, do good and you'll live. Someday you'll stand before God and He'll weigh your good deeds against your bad deeds. If your good deeds outweigh your bad deeds, God will say, enter into the joy of the Lord and all that. That's all He knows. He can't comprehend anything else in the Word of God. Why? Flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father. Well, who is Father? Well, He's God. God is a spirit, and they that worship God must worship Him in spirit, the Spirit of God, and not the spirit of man. Now look in verse 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, they're foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. But now we don't really believe that, do we? You know how I know we don't believe that? Because we got a habit of trying to teach people into salvation. You can't teach people into salvation. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. The gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believe it. So how do men get saved? They get saved by the gospel, not by teaching. You can teach people Genesis through Revelation, they'll still be lost and go to hell. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved is the power of God. The flesh can't understand the things of God. There ain't no need to try to teach a man the things of God. Preach the gospel unto him. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. It's by the gospel that people save people. If a man won't believe the gospel, neither is he going to believe the record of Genesis chapter 1. And on and on. All right, turn please to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. Paul is almost as if he's saying, look at here, don't leave me out of the picture. Now keep in mind, Peter said, you're the Christ. Christ said, flesh and blood didn't reveal this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. Well, there had to be a revelation to this man too, didn't there? Turn to Galatians 1 and look at verse 11. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which is preached to me is not after man. I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ revealed himself to the Apostle Paul, and he got to know Jesus Christ in the resurrection of Jesus Christ by the Spirit of Almighty God. Flesh and blood have not revealed it, are they? Why, folks, if Paul never knew Jesus Christ by study, you flat well aren't going to. All right, let's notice some things about the flesh. Number one, there isn't anything good in it. Turn to Romans chapter 7. While you trust in it, there is nothing good in it. Romans chapter 7. In Romans chapter 7, look at verse 18. Romans 7, verse 18 says, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh. Well, when I talk about you, I talk about your flesh. When I talk about your flesh, I talk about you. I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. Boy, that does bother me. That really does. Paul's a saved man, wasn't he? Was there anything good in him? Sure wasn't. His flesh remained the same as it was before he ever trusted Christ, his Lord and Savior. Just as sorry. You know why? Had blood in it. There's sin in the blood. Therefore he had sin. Look in verse 14. Second thing, your flesh is sold unto sin. Verse 14, we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. You are a slave under sin. You say, I'm not. Well, then you just sin because you lied. You're sold under sin. You cannot deliver yourself. You can't change that fact. You can't change being a slave to sin. If there's a problem about the word soul, turn to Acts chapter 2 and notice the word in its translation in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 and look at verse 44 and 45. Acts 2:44, and all that believed were together and had all things common and sold their possessions and goods. I want to ask you a question. After they sold their possessions and goods, did the possessions and goods belong to the person that bought them? If you buy something, does it belong to you? Turn to Romans chapter 8 again, or 7 rather, verse 14. We know that the law is spiritual, but I'm carnal, sold under sin. Bless your soul. The flesh that you have by nature is a slave to sin. See, I don't believe that. Been millions before you that didn't. Hadn't changed a thing. You're a slave to sin. You know what it's doing to you? It's putting wrinkles in your skin. It's turning your hair gray, turning it out. I mean, hey, it's causing you to have headaches and heartaches and pains and sorrows and on and on. That's what it's doing to you. Why don't you stop it? See, I got control of it. You how? Stop it. Let me see you. You know where it's going to put you? In a grave, 6 foot under. That's exactly where you're going. Let me see you stop. Come on. Maybe you got a revelation we don't know anything about. Say, but I turned over a new leaf. You're still sold under sin. You're a slave. Why put any confidence in the flesh? Number three, it cannot please God. Look in Romans chapter 8, verse 8. Romans 8, verse 8 says, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Look in verse 3. What the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sent it, and on. Why, your flesh can't even please God where the law is concerned. The Bible said, be ye perfect. God said, be ye perfect. Didn't he say that to you? Go on, do it. Say, well, why did he tell me to do it then if I can't? Because he wanted you to see the low-down, sorry, no good-for-nothing thing that you are. He wanted to see you to see that you are worth a gunpowder take to blow you into hell. That's why he told you that. But then there are people today, just like those Israelites were. Moses read the law, and you know what that bunch said? They said, whatsoever God has said, this we will do, and we're right on in their sin. You know what the first thing they did? Made a golden calf. You're kidding. Whatsoever God has said, we'll do. And this man Moses ain't going to come back. We don't want to be left out here. Like, make us gods that'll go before us. So he built a golden calf. The flesh cannot please God. Notice something else that's precious. Look in Romans chapter 8, verse 9. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. Well, then you know something? God doesn't see you in your flesh if you have Christ as your Lord and Savior. Well, that's the greatest blessing. I mean, if it ain't for Christ, then all God sees here is just a pile of corruption. That's all. That is absolutely fantastic. Yeah, think about it now. He said, I want to give you James first. Whosoever shall keep the whole law, yet offend in one point, he's guilty of all. In other words, if you claim to keep the Ten Commandments and you transgress in one commandment, then you're guilty of the whole thing, so that makes you out a murderer, an adulterer, and a whoremonger, and whatever else there is bad that can be said of you. Cursed is the man that continues not in all things written in the book of law to do them. Well, then you're under a curse unless you've got the Spirit of God. Well, how can you have the Spirit of God? Turn, please, to Ephesians chapter 1. In Ephesians 1, look at verse 12. that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, verse 13, in whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. How do I know then that I've got the Spirit? I know that I've got the Spirit because I believe in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I know that the Spirit of God is in me. I know that I'm sealed by the Spirit of God by the Word of God. The Word of God said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. What I believe about the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe that God took my sin and placed upon His Son and made His Son accountable for my sin, and Jesus Christ died for my sin at Calvary, and by my faith in Him dying for my sin, I am justified in this day. I've got the Spirit. I'm sealed by the Holy Spirit. How do I do it? By believing the truth. What is the truth? The gospel of your salvation. What is the gospel of your salvation? Jesus Christ died for your sin. He was buried, and He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. I got the Spirit. So I'm not in the flesh. We know no man after the flesh, though we've known Christ after the flesh, henceforth know Him no more. I'm not in the flesh, beloved. Say, but you look like flesh to me. I know it. I'm aware of that. But I'm not reckoned in the flesh, don't you understand? Just as I put up here and I'll say, okay, I've got a ledger. My sin is on this side. The righteousness of Jesus Christ on this side. God took my sin from my side of the ledger and put it to Christ's side of the ledger. God put the righteousness of Christ from His side to mine, and God reckons me to be righteous and reckoned His Son to be sin, even though they could prove no sin in His Son. But even though you can prove no righteousness in me, amen, I am righteous by faith in Christ. It's reckoned to my side of the ledger. So it is with the flesh. Even though I'm walking around in a body of flesh, a sinful body of flesh that can't please God, the flesh can't, yet God doesn't reckon me in the flesh. God reckons me in the Spirit. Why? Because the Spirit of His Son dwells in me because I honor Him by believing in His Son and trusting His Son rather than trusting my silly flesh. Therefore, I have nothing to boast in but the cross. I have nothing to brag on. All right, the flesh cannot please God. Notice the fourth thing, the flesh has a mind. Turn to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. And look at verse 18. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he had not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. Why has he not seen, do you know? The flesh, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, don't you see? He's puffed up. He hasn't trusted Christ. He hasn't humbled himself and received Christ. He's puffed up, boasting in what he's going to do. He's bragging about his things, how he repented and how he did this and how he did that, and he kept the commandments and he obeyed the Lord and all those things. He's puffed up with his fleshly mind, and therefore he has not the Spirit of God. The flesh cannot please God. It's a fleshly mind. That mind is called carnal in Romans chapter 8. Go back to Romans chapter 8 again. In Romans chapter 8, notice in verse 5, they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, they that are after the Spirit the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Or it's a carnal mind. Notice it's very religious. Turn please to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, continuation, obviously, of the context of chapter 2. Verse 1, I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I fed you with milk, not with meat. Hitherto you're not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. For you're yet carnal. For whereas there's among you envying and strife and divisions, you're not carnal and walk as men. While one saith, I'm a Paul, another of Apollos, or you're not carnal, and on it goes. Turn, please, to Ephesians. I look in Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as other. Wait a minute. Paul, a child of wrath? That's what he said. Look in Philippians chapter 3. Philippians 3. Look at this man's religious mind. Philippians chapter 3. And notice in verse 3, verse 4. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man think he hath, or if he may trust in the flesh, I more, circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, Hebrew of the Hebrews, touching the law, Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things, that is, that he did, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, on and on and on. The flesh has a mind. It's a carnal mind. It's very religious. And it's set in contrast to the new nature. Turn, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So this shouldn't upset you. If you come to the realization of this truth, accept this truth and get on with it, it'll solve some problems with you. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14, the love of Christ constraineth us, because with it says that if one died for all, then all were dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we've known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God, and on and on. But you know something? You know that that can't be the flesh. He's not a new creature according to the flesh. He's a new creature according to the Spirit. Paul said, I'm carnal, so he said, there's no goodness in my flesh, so it can't be his flesh. Flesh still the same. He's a new creature in Christ. The flesh is set in contrast to the new nature. The flesh is set in contrast to the Spirit. Look in Romans 8 again. I hate to belabor this, but in Romans chapter 8, notice in verse 5, they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. They that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Turn, please, to Galatians, and look in Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. God sets up roadblocks all the way through this book, and there are people that just go charging and run right over them and never know they ran over them. In Galatians chapter 3, look in verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, which obviously is the gospel, before whose eyes Jesus Christ had been evidently set forth crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Received you the Spirit by the works of the law, by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Every Pentecostal, and on, the religions of this world, all of them that I ever knew, believe that you're made perfect by the flesh. So I don't really believe that. Well, they flat well do preach it and teach it. Jimmy Swaggart believes it. Jimmy Swaggart believes that once you've trusted Christ, your Lord and Savior, if you go into a bar, you're lost. You know, I know that. Heard him say that. That's what he said. So you think it's all right to go in a bar? Has nothing to do with it. It's all right. If I went into a bar, I wouldn't be lost. I'd be a saved man in a bar room. Why you in there? Got no business in there unless I'm going to go around and witness to somebody. But nevertheless, if I went in there, I'd be in there and I would still be a new creature in Christ, even though I'm standing in the middle of that honky-tonk. Wouldn't change anything. If I'm a new creature, I'm a new creature, beloved. The flesh is the same. The new creature is the same. You know something that always amazed me? If you can't make flesh into spirit, how is it that these people think that you can change the spiritual man into a fleshly man by doing something bad? Hey, they trust Christ, the Lord and Savior, said, praise God, I'm saved. A few days later, they did something bad. All of a sudden, the spiritual man that they were by faith in Christ became a bad dude. Well, the spiritual man that we are by Christ is not bad, beloved. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So would you carry Christ into a bar room? I don't know. I don't know. I hope not. But I'm not going to stand up here and lie to you and tell you, no, I wouldn't. Like the Church of Christ preacher riding along with me one day. I said, I want to ask you a question after a lot of argument about baptism, all that kind of stuff. I said, if you died right now and stood before God, and God said unto the angels, take this man and cast him into hell, what would you say? Rode along there a minute, and he said, wouldn't be much I could say. I said, it'd be something I could say. He said, well, that's blasphemy. I said, that's not blasphemy, that's believing God. I'm a child of God. God Almighty told me that there isn't anything that can separate me from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. Therefore, if I stood before Almighty God and he said, take me and cast me into hell, then God lied to me, folks. The Bible tells me in Ephesians that we were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Well then, if God chose me in Christ before the foundation of the world, knowing that I'd trust His Son, then God knew me before the foundation of the world. And if He knew me, bless your soul, there ain't no way God's going to ever say, depart from me, you work of iniquity, I never knew you. Amen. He does, He lied. You see, people just never do get that thing straight about the difference in the flesh and the spirit. They're worlds apart. Turn to Galatians 5. Boy, this book of Galatians is really something. You know it? I bet you there are thousands of people who went to hell out of the book of Galatians that don't believe the book. In fact, look in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. That's obviously the law. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. In other words, if you try to put yourself under the law after trusting Christ, then you never trusted Christ in the first place. And if you did trust Christ, then why would you want to go under the law? Hey, folks, if you really believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins at Calvary, we're talking all of your sins, and you believe that salvation is by what He did at Calvary, and you believe you're saved by grace through faith, then in the name of all this decency, what do you think you're going to do by keeping the law? If you're trying to keep the law, that proves to me that you didn't really believe that Jesus Christ saved you in the first place. Verse 4, Christ has become of no effect unto you, whosoever you are justified by the law. You're fallen from grace. One of the worst misinterpreted passages in the King James Bible. Idea is that if once you trust Christ, your Lord and Savior, if you smoke, use tobacco in any way, you've fallen from grace. Well, folks, that's not the context. The context is keeping the law. If you claim Christ your Savior and go under the law, you're fallen from grace.
Why, folks, if you're saving yourself by the law, you're not in the grace of God, you're under the law of God. Don't you understand that? Well, you can't have them both at the same time. They don't work together. They're at opposites. One of them is of the flesh, the other is of the spirit. Isn't that amazing? In Galatians 5, notice in verse 16, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would." Well, then the flesh is against the Spirit, and the Spirit is against the flesh. They are contrary one to the other. Therefore, once you trust Christ your Lord and Savior and become a spiritual creature in Christ, that doesn't stop you from being what you were before you trusted Christ your Lord and Savior. You're still the same old mean, ornery individual you were before. Now, what can we do about all this? Obviously, we can't take it out of the way. Obviously, we can't annihilate it. So what can we do? Go to Romans chapter 6. Very simple. Romans chapter 6. To start with, look in verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? In other words, like if I, the more sin I do, the more grace will be exhibited. Verse 2, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? In other words, then, when you trust Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, you're dead to sin. Come down to verse 4. Well, I'll make it 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ is raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of His death, we should be also in the likeness of His resurrection. Why, folks, that's a death baptism. Don't you know that? Jesus Christ in Luke chapter 12, verse 50 said, "I have a baptism to be baptized with." And that baptism that He was baptized with is a baptism of death. Jesus Christ was immersed in death. He was overcome in death. He was submerged in death. We were buried with Him in His death. We were there, seen by God on the cross. We were reckoned to be in the tomb, and we were quickened together with Christ. Have ascended up and are now seated with Christ far above all heavens and on and on. But that isn't all. Still in the chapter, go down to verse 7. He that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, died no more. Death and no more dominion over Him. Come to verse 11. Reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. In other words, God reckoned your sin to Christ, reckoned His death unto you. Therefore, you're to reckon it to be so after having believed in Him as your Lord and Savior. Now, one last thing, and I'll shut up. The word reckon there is a mathematical word. It's like taking an adding machine and adding things up. Well, I'm to add it all up. If according to God's word, I'm dead to sin by Christ's death, then I'm to add that. I'm to reckon it into my life, add it up to be true in my life. Now, you know what? I can reach my hand into my pocket, and let's just say that I come up with 75 cents. So I got the 75 cents, put it back in my pocket. Now, I say, praise God, I believe in miracles. I believe that I got a dollar in my pocket. I'm going to reckon it to be so. I know it's a dollar. Mind over matter. It's another quarter going to come in my pocket. I'm going to have a dollar in my pocket because I believe with all my heart. Reach my hand down in there. Come up with 3/4. You can't reckon it to be true in your life if it ain't true. You know that? You can struggle with it and strain with it and strive with it till hell freezes over. And if you didn't die at Calvary in Christ, you can't reckon it in your life right now. And you didn't die at Calvary unless you, with all your heart, believe in Him as your Lord and Savior, committing your salvation to Him, leaving it with Him, and trusting Him to save you. If you ain't done that, you didn't die there. Jesus Christ died for those that God did foreknow. Who are they? The ones that would believe in Him, trusting Him. The flesh is bad stuff. Quit boasting in it.